Obviously, Darren, you're a liberal. Anton's unapologetically conservative. Both y'all have stated the state of Black America right now in the United States. What would you say it is right now? I'll start with you, Darren.
I think the state of Black America right now, Stephen A., is one that's fluid, in your words, but it's something that we need to all be focused on, because as we sit here right now in the United States of America, we know that Black unemployment is high, and we care about a lot of the issues that white, Hispanic, and Asian people care about, and here they are in this order. Number one, we want to be able to be safe. We have allowed the Republicans and others to say that we don't believe in law and order. And I'm here to tell you that that's not true. Number two is that we want our children to have an opportunity, particularly our Black children, to have an opportunity to go to schools, whether it's private schools or public schools. But then when you get into healthcare, and we know the alarming rates of people with diabetes, people who have heart conditions, and even mental illness in Black people right now. Just studies have shown that young Black people right now are committing suicides at a higher rate than we've ever seen before. So I think the state of a Black America right now is struggling. I think that some of us are prosperous, but some of us are actually not bringing enough people along with us. And then lastly, I think that we have to make sure that for those of us that have been blessed to have an opportunity to have a good paying job, to have a family structure, there's a lot of folks out here, particularly kids, depending on what zip code you're born in, will determine your actual pathway to success. A lot of folks in Atlanta and places around the country are being born below the poverty line. And if you don't have that family structure in place, access to quality paying jobs, and also healthcare, we as Black Americans, we got to do better.
Darren, before I get to Anton, who do you hold most culpable for the state of affairs involving Black America at this point in time?
I think it's a combination of a lot of different things, but it's a confluence of the lack of leadership on the federal level, starting with President Trump. And then I think the second part of it is that we've got to be more emboldened to hold the elected officials accountable. You can't just come in our communities and tell us things that we want to hear. We got to make sure that when we elect you, particularly Black women, who is the backbone of the Democratic Party, we got to make sure that we hold them accountable. And not just Democrats, we got to get into those rooms with Republicans too, and don't let them off the hook. So I think it's a confluent of a lack of leadership on a federal and state level, but also making sure we hold our Black leaders more accountable to make sure that they deliver on what they promised us.
Anton, when I would ask you the same question, what do you believe the state of Black America to be at this particular moment in time? Who do you hold most culpable for it?
I'm not sure exactly what he means by fluid. And I'm assuming that he defined that based off of the different parameters by which he spoke about the Black community. However, I think I agree with him, except for I would describe it as in shambles. Worse off than we've ever been, freer than we've ever been. And the fact that we're willing to blame Trump, although we've had decades of opportunities, Black cities, you look at some of the Blackest cities in the United States of America, Memphis, for example, is in shambles and they needed Trump's help. And I think that there's a lack of accountability and victimhood. And as long as we continue to promote that it's somebody else's fault, you know, I was looking at Juneteenth in Chicago, right? And you had over 7 people killed and 36 people shot. And while we were focusing on whether or not Asians and white people, whether it's Carmelo Anthony or Cyrus Carmack, is responsible and if they should go to jail or not, in every city across America, especially where predominantly Black people live, you don't have to kill each other, but there's drive-bys and there were over 113 shell casings where 12 people were shot on Juneteenth itself. And so when I look at the state of the Black community, it has nothing to do with the political landscape. It has everything to do with self-accountability, regardless of whether or not you're picking the right curriculum, if you want to go to college or you want to go to community college. Healthcare, I don't think that we're concerned about it. Self-care, I don't think that we're concerned about it. And more importantly, I think that we're more concerned about self-care with regard to promoting ourselves and the culture that's the worst for us versus taking accountability for the state that we have ourselves in. We don't have to have children out of wedlock. We don't have to put ourselves at a disadvantage, and we don't have to have children in poverty. And we have more technological advantages as far as research and understanding of the past than we've ever had before. But for some reason, we're still worse off when we continue to vote the same way while requesting nothing from politicians and letting women lead us to the polls. And that is the direct result. You're seeing it transpire inside of the Black community.
One of the things that I got to ask you about, Anton, is that, you know, so many times we see things from an historical perspective. We see the Civil Rights Act of 1964. We see the Voting Rights Act of 1965. We see policy that has been implemented to address the unfairness and the inequity that exists within our system. I do understand when people look at it in this day and age and say, look, we're a lot better off than we were before. Let's stop acting like that. But there are, I think one of the things that concerns me about folks on with the conservative tilt is that there's this notion, sometimes people act like it never existed. There was never a problem. These things never needed to be addressed. It's basically just about pulling yourself by your own bootstraps and going from there without really addressing the fact that the inequity that exists in our system, it's always been something that the Black community has had to battle against. And sometimes you hear conservatives talk, and it's, and some of them sound like, yo, that's not true at all. What do you say to that?
I don't see any inequities. I was born in the blackest large city in the United States of America. Everybody knows that. Detroit, Michigan, still here, born and raised, contribute to my community. And there's just some very basic fundamentals that we lack that has nothing to do with the history of this country, right? We're in 2026, and there's people that come over here with absolutely nothing. There's Africans, right? Illegal and legal immigrants that have come into this country and done exceptionally well, right? And so when I start to have this conversation, there's really two different types of Black people, right? And I'm not going to use the word to describe the other type of Black people, but there's people that continue to hold on to the victim Olympics. And I've never experienced slavery in my 44 years on this earth. And so the expectation for my father was I had a greater calling for my life, and that's what I leaned into. I leaned into my religious beliefs. I leaned into my community. I leaned into my schoolwork. I leaned into taking accountability. I leaned into working hard 16 hours a day, 7 days a week. And as long as you are doing what you're supposed to do, there are no limits. And so I don't see the inequity, right? That is a word that is used in order to make an excuse for why you're not doing what you're supposed to do. We don't have any excuse for why we go into prison. We don't have any excuse for why we continue to commit crimes. And we don't have any excuse for why we continue to not enroll in the curriculums that's going to pay us the most money. Every time you go into a college campus, everybody is in business, marketing, and communications. Nobody is going in any STEM fields. And every time I see a woman go into anything school related, it's always to be a nurse. I don't understand. I really genuinely don't understand. We're the most educated, we're the most enrolled, not even the most educated. We're the most enrolled, but we're the most in debt. And so we have insight and information on how we can make better decisions, but we lack the discipline and we lack the wherewithal to actually make those decisions and be conscious enough to see it through. And so I don't believe in that. And I believe the fact that people continue to try to make it seem like we're behind the eight ball is enabling us to continue to go further down this drain. And the minute that we start holding ourselves accountable, holding ourselves, we don't need Trump. You don't need Barack Obama. I've seen them making their speech about hope again. And I respect you, Theron, for the work that you did with the Obama campaign in the South. But we don't need anybody to sell us anything or to give us anything. We can take everything that we want if we really want it.
Theron, I mean, listen, you served as a regional political director for Barack Obama's 2008 presidential campaign. Obviously, you were senior advisor, former Atlanta Mayor Kasim Reed, and helped shape policy and political strategy during Reed's administration. You hear Anton say what he just said, break down what he just break down. Give your initial reaction to all of that. How do you feel about what he just said?
I think what you just heard from Anton is a sort of a certain demographic, a certain population of Black people in this country. I mean, what you heard there, Stephen A., is much like my story. He's born in Detroit. I was born in Atlanta. I grew up in Athens. I had a mother who never finished high school, didn't meet my father until later on in life after I graduated from college. But I had a structure around me where my mom understood the importance of education. Then I had to understand after graduating from Clark Atlanta University, play football, hey, not going to the NFL, what am I going to do with my life? And so I think the one thing that I would tell Anton that I know that he was a direct recipient of is that there were some Black people, maybe some white people, Asian, Hispanic folks that took a time to really invest in him, right? And so I think that, you know, we have a lot of folks who are born in poverty. And you look around the country is that, and I said this earlier in my opening statement, kids who are born in certain zip codes, the structure is not there with the family structure, because what the family does, Stephen A., they can teach you how to behave in school. Then it's left up to our teachers, whether it's public schools or private schools, to basically be able to teach you how to learn. And remember what I said, not everyone has the luxury of going to private schools. That's why I believe that we need to do more to invest in our public schools. Now, once you get out, here we go. And this is where I think I benefit with Anton, is that you then have to figure out, okay, how am I going to utilize the system in its current form? You mentioned Barack Obama. You mentioned Kasim Reed. We got Andre Dickens, Keisha Lance Bottoms, all these people, the late, great Congressman John Lewis, Stephen A. These are all people who I work for and I'm very close to. The difference was, is that with having someone that was Black in these positions of power, it gave them a level of understanding when they were in the room and decisions were being made about jobs, education, healthcare, entrepreneurship, where we were going to allocate resources to certain communities, you had that person in the room. What's also lacking, he makes a good point, is that some of our cities that are being led by these Democratic mayors, a lot of them of whom are Black, we got to make sure that we support them and don't just criticize them when there are shootings and killings, but let's talk about the good things that they are doing. So I fundamentally disagree that not that Black people basically are just complaining about everything. The majority of Black people that I'm friends with and the majority of people that I talk to, they want a good paying job. But unfortunately, they can't keep a job because basically folks are not hiring. We have folks in this country right now who are overly educated for jobs or taking jobs that they're overly qualified for, and people that are qualified for the jobs actually can't get them. And then lastly, I would say this. We have to do a better job as a community. Stephen A., you're doing this, right? Putting people in positions to make sure that when they've done the work, when they've actually made the sacrifices, right? They've been given opportunity, somebody's helped them, give them a platform to talk about their story and about what they're doing to try to help people. And so again, I fundamentally disagree with Anton as far as, you know, having babies and going to jail. We know that basically the crime rate and is the same with a Black person with a job and the same person with a white person with the same job, right? If you give people a job, crime goes down. People are more productive citizens. But if we don't get them access to jobs, if we don't have politicians in place to make sure that the blatant racism that we do see in this country, where people are basically know when I go in a lot of rooms, folks don't look like me, but I'm scared of that room. And even though sometimes I'm more educated and more experienced, we got to make sure that we hold those folks accountable. So I think that's the difference between that. And as I've been very blessed to be in positions, I'm always, Stephen A. and Anton, trying to figure out how do I help the young Black brothers and the young Black sisters who are trying to actually make a way and make sure that they thrive in their communities.
Can I respond to that really quickly?
I saw you shaking your head. Feel free to comment. Go ahead.
For every Andre Dickens, you have a Lori Lightfoot and Brandon Johnson over in Chicago. You have a Karen Bass who is completely incompetent, right? As a person that is born and raised in Detroit, what I've seen is a predominantly Black city that was ran by Black people, Black politicians, whether you're talking about the mayor and the city council, you're talking about the school systems, you're talking about the police chiefs, you're talking about all of this. So when we're talking about identity, for whatever reason, people feel like you need somebody to look like you in order for you to do what you're supposed to do. And that has nothing to do with anything. As far as me and using myself as an example, nobody poured into me except for my father. My father was responsible for me because I didn't ask to be here. And so when we're talking about taking accountability, what I do see is people continuing to have children out of wedlock. What I do see is people not getting married. I'm even talking about the political landscape. I'm talking about the basics, the fundamentals. I work with automakers here in Metro Detroit, and so many new jobs was created. Chrysler, well, actually it's Stellantis, but we call it Chrysler here in Detroit, opened up a new plant. Ford went on a hiring spree as a result of the Trump administration. And the main reason why most people couldn't get a job, overwhelmingly Black people applied for these jobs, is because they couldn't pass the drug test. They couldn't pass the drug test.
But how prevalent is that, Anton? How prevalent is that? I mean, you can find those cases, but to give the impression that that's a vast majority is where the problem occurs. Well, you really believe it's the vast majority?
50% of applicants that actually got hired or was on the verge of getting hired couldn't pass the drug test in order to get into the plant.
But Anton, let's go back to Detroit real quick. I know your mayor very well, Mary Sheffield. I actually supported her in Atlanta. Stephen A., she came here when no one knew her. She had some mutual friends, met this sister. And you can't tell me, Anton, having that Black woman with that rich history, right? I don't need to tell you her history, you know, her family, how she served on the city council president. You can't tell me having her in that room, and not necessarily the color of her skin, but the content of her character and what she took to get there, you guys, if people who are citizens of Detroit, you guys are benefiting from that. I mean, she no one gave her anything. She ran against the establishment. She ran against the preachers. And so now she's trying to basically talk about people and getting them in position to get those jobs you're talking about. But I think I agree with Stephen A. Let's not put this on Black folk, bro. Hispanics fail drug tests all the time. Asians fail. And, you know, a lot of white people, and we're not going to even get into the thing around fentanyl and all the drug problems that a lot of our rural white class, working class people are filing right now. They fail drug tests too. So I think that's my fundamental issue with you. Nope. We can't just isolate that just to the Black community.
You're moving a goalpost, because specifically the question was for the Black community, right? We're not talking about Asians. We're not talking about white people. We're talking about taking self-accountability.
No, I'm going back with Stephen.
I did ask the question. I did, Darren. I did ask the question about the Black community. I didn't bring up any. Yeah. I didn't bring up any other community. He's right about that. I did ask the question specifically about the Black community. So I get. He's got me there. But
I'm not going to lean into somebody else in order to justify why we not or why we are. Right. You have a responsibility as an American citizen and as a duty to your parents. And the ancestors that came before us, especially with regard to the civil rights movement and all of the people that died and the people that suffered. We don't even show up at the polls and we don't even educate ourselves enough to understand the candidates that we're voting for. I'm not going to talk negatively about Mary Sheffield because she just got into office. Right. And I think that we should give her some grace and some opportunity to really show herself. And so even though I am a Republican, I do believe in supporting whoever is in office, regardless of whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. But you can go further back. Forget Mary Sheffield. Let's talk about Kwame Kilpatrick. Let's talk about Mayor Coleman Young. Let's talk about all of the Black people that came before them that ran the city into the ground that ultimately culminated in the city filing for bankruptcy in 2008. That's not a mistake. It's not a mistake that Detroit had fell behind and filed for bankruptcy. Now, once Mike Duggan got into office afterwards, we had 11 consecutive years of surpluses that Mary Sheffield now can benefit from because she can stand on the shoulders of people that actually worked and did the work. And I'm not going to say that she didn't do the work because she was a part of the city council, but she can now benefit from people voting and saying, listen, I'm not going to vote based off of identity. I'm going to vote based off of the person that's the best for the job. And Mike Duggan, especially as a CEO of a hospital system and understanding it from a business perspective, gave the city an opportunity to really show itself and grow. And now that's what you see as far as Detroit benefiting, especially from working with business leaders like Dan Gilbert, the Illiges, and so on and so forth. They are the beneficiaries. But again, we want to ignore the people that did horrible for the city in order to catapult people that are now in office. But we can't forget the history in order to move the goalposts.